Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go. It is NFL Draft Day, a beautiful Thursday in Los Angeles. Live, this is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Jay Glazer this hour on all the very latest. There are so many late-breaking rumors and gossipy tidbits flying around this morning. I'm getting texts. I'm getting emails from people around the league. And Joy Taylor is joining me. Here we are, Joy. Thursday, how are you?
I'm great. This is amazing. I'm super excited. I can't believe it's here.
I know. We need, like, you know what we need? A draft 3 weeks from now. With no games, this draft has been a life preserver for us. So here's the story.
But this is like your Christmas.
Yes, it is. So the Dolphins have discussed trading for left guard Joe Tooney of the Patriots, per report. The Dolphins are exploring trading up to pick an offensive tackle, according to a report. All right, here are my only two predictions for the draft. Joe Burrow's going number one to Cincinnati, and Miami's going to win the night and the weekend. 14 picks, 3 in the first round, a New England connection, and this team knows what they're doing. It doesn't take long. Remember, the league is trying to help bad teams. That's why it's just inexplicable that the Browns have been this bad for 20 years. It makes no sense. The league is trying to help you. They give you an easier schedule. They give you a franchise tag. Well, we can't afford this guy. All right, just franchise him. And they're still terrible. The Miami Dolphins, you can see it. It is not hard to do. Bill Parcells did it 4 times. Overnight, Miami, Jets, New England. Overnight, fix stuff. It's not that hard to do. So what do the Dolphins do? They hire a coach from a top system. Brian Flores, no nonsense guy, no noise guy, no drama guy. He goes out and he gets Byron Jones, elite corner, the one thing New England always pays for. He goes out and gets Kyle Van Noy, high IQ veteran linebacker. He gets Shaq Lawson. He can stop the run. He can get the quarterback. He gets Jordan Howard, the running back. So he goes and solves a few issues, not necessarily superstar players, but, you know, little expensive. He gets guys who have been in the league. He gets veterans. And now he's got all these draft picks. 23 in 2 years, 14 this year, 3 first rounders. You can see the really smart rebuilds happening fast. You can see Andy Reid goes to Kansas City. And they're terrible. And he gets Alex Smith. And you're like, okay, Andy Reid, first thing he does is get a veteran quarterback. And he comes in and Alex Smith starts winning. They go 2-14 to 11-5, and they've been rolling since. You can see it. San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan. What did he do? First of all, they started building a defensive front. They inherited some good defensive front players. They start adding more. Then they have a good Joe Staley's a good left tackle. They make sure they get a right tackle from Notre Dame, Mike McGlinchey, a road grader. And so you can see it happening. They're competitive with Nick Mullins at quarterback. They're losing, but you're like, they got their tackles. Then they get Garoppolo, the quarterback. He gets hurt, but they got the quarterback. They got defensive lines. So they're building lines, find the quarterback. You can see it. Miami, to me, is the same thing. Is that first thing they do, they get a coach from a winning system. Second thing they do, they create a culture where from week one getting crushed by Baltimore to the last 9 games where they won 5, they get rid of some expensive guys. They get rid of head cases. They get younger, accumulate draft picks. First off season, they go get a corner. It's what the Patriots pay for. A former Patriot linebacker. You know, Shaq Lawson, Jordan Howard, guys who have played before, know what the game's about. Then, here we go, first round, 3 picks. They know what they're doing, and it's not hard to do. Bill Parcells has done this. He's done it literally 4 times. And you look at Cincinnati, And they can't get the owner and the GM and the coach last 15 years. Didn't feel like they get it right last 10 years. And then there's Cleveland where there's all this noise and they can't get the stuff at the top right. And it's a bunch of chaos. Miami's going to draft a quarterback tonight. Which one? I don't know. Miami's going to draft an offensive tackle tonight. Which one? I don't know. But it's amazing. Houston, even when they win, noisy. Cleveland losing, noisy. Noise is bad in this league. And here is Miami. No nonsense, quiet, covert operation, get draft picks, smart veterans. This is how you do it. Not a lot of noise. Anybody that's nonsense, they get rid of. Anybody that's noisy, they get rid of. They're not interested. And as they're supposed to be tanking, they're competing and building a culture. Again, two things to know about this league in the NFL. You can rebuild it fast. This is not Major League Baseball, where if you just don't have enough good arms, you can't get people out. It may take 5 years of drafting and acquisitions, and some small markets can't afford to get great pitching. I mean, let's be honest. Baseball has no salary cap. So you can want pitching, and you get outbid by the Astros and the Red Sox and the Dodgers and the Yankees and teams with money. It also takes a long time if you don't buy pitchers to develop pitchers. So baseball can take forever, 6, 7, 8 years to rebuild. NBA, you need star players. I mean, you can draft a bunch of really nice players, but if you can't put the ball in the bucket against good teams, you can't win. Again, there's a salary cap, but there are some teams that aren't attractive to free agents. The NFL's different. You can turn the roster over. Bill Parcells in Miami, 1 win, 11 win as GM. They had 1 win team, 1-15, 11 the next year. Turned over 35% of his roster. Got rid of the bad guys, got the good guys, accumulate draft picks, hit a couple of them, boom. Second thing is the NFL is trying to help you. They're trying. They created a franchise tag. We can't afford this good player. Just franchise tag him. A player leaves you, like Tom Brady leaves you, you get a compensatory pick. The schedule, if you're a fourth place team, you play another fourth place team and make it easy for you. By the way, there is no draft lottery like the NBA. In the NFL, if you're bad, you get a great pick. In the NBA, you can be bad. Ping pong ball goes the wrong way. You get the seventh pick. First six players are gone. So that's why it's to me, I want to see, do you compete? Do you get better over the course of the season? Miami, first game of the year, didn't they lose like 59-0 to Lamar Jackson? They were terrible. By the end of the year, they won 5-9. So they got better in season. Then free agent. I don't hear noise. I got a bunch of draft picks. So there's a new story out today. Here, this just broke. Okay, elevator music. Okay, here's the story. Per a league source, Miami's trying to get the number 3 pick from Detroit. The Dolphins aren't trying to get the 3rd from the Lions without giving up a 5th pick. Instead, the Dolphins believe that a potential godfather offer to the Bengals for the 1st overall pick would be harder to refuse if the Dolphins offer both the number 3 and the number 5 as part of the package. So they want Joe Burrow.
They're trying to get the 3rd without giving up the 5th. So they can go to the Bengals and say, here's 2 top 5. Give us number 1.
The Bengals won't do that. Bengals have no courage. I mean, I love Marvin Lewis, but they kept him like 2 years too long. They didn't want to fire him. They never make any moves in the draft. They're not a courageous organization. That's not what the Bengals are. New England's all over the place. Philadelphia's wild risky. Rams take big shots. Raiders over the years have taken. Bengals don't. Bengals are very safe. They're like Cincinnati. They've got nice Applebee's. Probably got a Chili's there. It's very nice people. They tuck their shirts into their pants. It's very Cincinnati. Very nice people in Cincinnati. They got good chili, a nice airport. People don't swear. They're very nice people. They're not big. They don't take big risks. It's not a big risk town. It ain't L.A. It ain't Philly. I mean, you look at some of these teams. New England rolls the dice. Philadelphia's hyper-aggressive. The Rams are just throwing stuff out there. Seattle will take big swings. That's not Cincinnati.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
NFC executive on Jordan Love the quarterback out of Utah State. Quote, there's just too much bad tape. A first-round pick shouldn't struggle so much against the Mountain West. In the four games they played top 25 teams, he was 0-for-4. He said, I just don't see it. All right, because that's funny, because Josh Allen 2 years ago, who played in the Mountain West, was also terrible when he played the two decent top 25 teams, Oregon and Iowa. I watched both. He was terrible. And Josh Allen was also big, like Jordan Love. He was wild. He was athletic. He actually got worse his last year in college, like Jordan Love. Jordan Love's a more talented Josh Allen. Here's the things we said about Josh Allen. I looked him up this morning. Big, mobile, athletic, huge arms, maturity issues, bad tape, got worse his last season in college. That's what they said about Josh Allen. That's what they say about Jordan Love. Josh Allen at Wyoming, same conference as Jordan Love. Never completed more than 56.3% of his throws in college. That's terrible. His yards per attempt went down. His quarterback rating went down. His touchdowns were almost cut in half. Isn't this about do you trust where he goes? Josh Allen, he goes to Buffalo. Excellent GM. We've been saying this for 2 years. Excellent coach, excellent GM. In fact, Josh Allen, they knocked him for, there were some racist tweets, immaturity. Jordan Love smoked a bowl in January, got caught. Maturity issues. I think they're both immature, but they're both issues, right? They were both flagged for it. Ah, racist tweets, guy smoking pot in January, he knows he's going to get drafted. How bad it's the same guy. Big athletic, big hands, big arm, rifle arm, effortless thrower, perfect NFL body, can move around, throw on the run. Sorry, but it's the same conference. And Josh Allen struggled mightily. He had bad tape. He was bad the two times they played good teams, Oregon and Iowa. All I know is when I watch Jordan Love, when I watch tape of him and I see pictures of him, that's an NFL quarterback. If he goes to the Patriots, Packers, Saints, or a Chargers later, with the players and the coaches, he's going to be fine. If he goes to the Jags, Bengals, not so fine. We know 2 years ago, Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen went to good staff stability. They've been excellent. Darnold and Baker Mayfield, talented guys, go to instability. Worst teams, not as excellent. I look at 2 years ago, Josh Allen. This morning I go and I look at all the criticisms of him. Immaturity, reckless, bad against good teams. Josh Allen had bad games against bad Mountain West teams. Well, Jordan Love, I got two texts a month ago. They're like, he was terrible against Air Force. Josh Allen was terrible at his own conference. So Peter King talked about it earlier. People are flummoxed on him. I say he'll be as good as the place he lands.
He's one of the most polarizing players in the draft. You know, as one GM told me this weekend, look, he's not Mahomes, but he's tremendously instinctive. He's an exciting player, and he really is one of these guys who, in the right system, could probably be coached exceedingly well and could turn into a good quarterback.
That's what I see. I think so much of this is landing spot.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Mock drafts are fun. Here are the five players, though. And here's what's funny about this draft. We know a half a dozen first-round picks are not going to be very good. Like, you know it. Have the courage to admit your team screwed up. You know, five of these guys, I mean, go look at the last five drafts. 80% of the wide receivers have either been a bust or underachieved. Like 80%. But yet if you insinuate a guy could bust, oh, my, you're a hater. Five drafts, last five wide receivers. Go look. That's just one position. Here's the five guys I think it would be hard for me to see them bust. Jeff Okuda, cornerback, Ohio State. Great. No penalties. Catch-up speed. Watch his video in football games. Watch his practice video. He just doesn't look like other guys. He can catch with one hand. He's fast. He's quick. He can be physical. I just don't see a bust. I think you can put him in physical, put him on an island. I think the second guy, my favorite offensive lineman, is Jedrick Wills from Alabama. Left tackle, right tackle, typical Alabama offensive lineman. Gamer, move him all around. I know he's faced the best pass rushers in college football in the SEC. Third guy is Jerry Jeudy. Somebody a couple days ago said, what about his injury? He hasn't missed a practice at Alabama in 2 years. Hasn't missed games. I think he's amazing. I think his ability to plant his foot, come back. I think his speed. He made SEC corners easily the best conference in the country for corners. He had his way with them, and that was a lot of double teams. I think the fourth guy is Chase Young at Ohio State. Wasn't overly productive last couple of college games, but if he goes to Ron Rivera, a guy who knows how to generate a pass rush without great pass rushers, I can't see him missing. And the guy that I don't understand why he doesn't get more love, he's not flashy, Andrew Thomas, the Georgia left tackle, that looks like a 10-year pro and a 4-time pro bowler. Big, good feet, not splashy, just, again, SEC's facing the best pass rushers in America and handles all of them. Those five guys, I don't see a bust barring an injury. Here's now, and by the way, Ohio State, a Georgia guy, and two Bamas. That means those guys were in the most talent-rich programs in the country. Bama, Georgia, Ohio State. And they stood out. They stood out in talent-rich five-star programs. Now, here are the five players that worry me. Mekhi Becton, offensive tackle. At one point, he was at 390 pounds. I just back feet injuries. He had a flag and a drug test. He didn't go against a lot of elite pass rushers in a bad conference outside of Clemson, the ACC. He's got a high ceiling, but I see guys, whenever I see guys with weight issues, that's when you're in college and have no money. What happens when you can order pizza every night? I worry about him. I worry about Henry Ruggs. The things I read is unbelievable athlete, has trouble with physical coverage. Well, you know what that tells me? NFL teams are going to throw physical coverage at him. Is he a one-trick pony, speed, nothing else? I worry about CeeDee Lamb. Every time I see a video, every time, wide open, drag routes, Big 12 pillow fight defenses. I know he's talented, but a lot of these receivers in the last five drafts, 80% underachiever whiff. He also has a great coach in Lincoln Riley. I also saw him against Jeff Gladney, arguably the best corner in the Big 12, and he had two catches. Another guy I worry about who I think is unbelievable is Isaiah Simmons. I think he's great. But doesn't it depend that he gets the right coach? He doesn't have a position. I mean, you know and I know. How many great defensive coordinators are there in the NFL? If I said 10, 12, that means 20 guys aren't. And there's a big gap between great coaches in the NFL and the average coach. What if Isaiah Simmons gets a coach that just doesn't know where to put him? You know, again, I think if he landed in Seattle some way with Pete Carroll, he'd be great. You know, there's a lot of defensive guys. Sean McDermott, he'd be great. Ron Rivera. But I don't think those teams will get him. And number five, and I like him, Joe Burrow. Anytime a guy is seen as a savior to a poorly run franchise, I have my doubts. I think between Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Cleveland, that's the best defensive conference in football. Look at the pass rushers. I could make a Pro Bowl-level team defensively just off the Ravens, Browns, and Steelers players. I could make a Pro Bowl defense up. The pass rushers, the corners, the linebackers, the edge rushers. It's not that Joe Burrow's not a good prospect. What if he gets sacked 49 times? He doesn't have Cam's body. He doesn't have Big Ben's body. He doesn't have Andrew Luck's body. Well, what happens? You know, I'm not saying these guys are busts. I'm saying I worry about where they're going. I worry about maybe their weight. You know, Ruggs is not a physical player. I worry about guys like that. The one player, like Jeff Okuda at Ohio State, if he doesn't get hurt, I don't see how he busts. Every time I've watched him play, he's an NFL player in the Big Ten. That's what he looked like last year. Just that he was an NFL player playing corner against Wisconsin receivers. That's what he looked like to me. Daniel Jeremiah is a former scout. At Move the Sticks is his Twitter account, and he released his final mock draft last night. All right, so you have Joe Burrow, Bengals 1, Dolphins go Justin Herbert, Chargers go Tua. So do you think the Chargers like Tua, or that's the guy that will be left for the Chargers and they don't have the draft capital to move up?
I got the sense, Colin, that they were comfortable with either guy. Now, we'll see how it all unfolds tonight, but I got the sense they were comfortable with Justin Herbert because of, you know, his athleticism and some of the stuff they want to do moving around
yes.
with the quarterback in their new offense. So that makes sense for them with him. And then with Tua, they view him kind of as that point guard who's just going to sit back there and be able to distribute, and they got a pretty good group of weapons. So I think they were comfortable with either one, which led me to believe they don't trade up, that they'll stick. And then that puts the decision squarely in Miami's hands. And I'll be honest with you, Colin. I mean, if you ask me my confidence level of what Miami's going to do, it's not very high because nothing's getting out. I mean, I just know that there's some support for both players in their organization, and I just gave the tie to the healthier guy.
Yeah. So Josh Allen comes out of the out of college 2 years ago, mm-hmm. out of the Mountain West. He had an immaturity issue with some racist tweets. He got a little bit worse his last year. His completion percentage was never over 56.3%. He had bad tape. He was terrible in the two games against Oregon, Iowa, good competition. And I hear Jordan Love, and I hear all the same criticisms. Oh, he smoked pot in January, immature. Well, I heard that with Josh Allen. And I look at him and Josh Allen, and I see big, strong arm, mobile, athletic, big hands, little immature. And I think both, to me, feel that they're as good as where they land. Josh Allen landed with the very capable Sean McDermott and that staff. I look at Jordan Love. Is he that far removed from all the questions we had about Josh Allen?
No, it's an interesting comparison, and I think there's some points to be made there. I would just add, Josh Allen in his last year was plus 10 in the turnover ratio. Jordan Love was plus 3. I would say that Josh Allen is a better athlete. They're both – Jordan Love's a good athlete. Josh Allen was an aggressive runner, like a physical runner. So I give him the edge there. I think Jordan Love's a better passer. I think he's more skilled as a passer, has more touch than Josh Allen
wow.
does. The difference I would say, though, Colin, is that Josh Allen, when he, I know he had the what you mentioned about the tweets and all that stuff, but going through the spring process, Josh Allen aced the test, man. Like a lot of teams really fell in love with him. And I didn't get that same sense in the spring after the season ended that Jordan Love was kind of able to close the deal as well as Josh Allen did.
Okay, so you and I have a major disagreement, and of course you're a scout, so you're right. It's not that I don't like CeeDee Lamb. Mm-hmm. I saw him against Jeff Gladney at TCU. By the way, Gary Patterson at TCU is a tremendous defensive coach, and there's not many in that. There's not many in the Big 12. He's a terrific mm-hmm. coach. Gladney's a terrific corner, and CeeDee Lamb only had a couple of catches. Now, people say he was banged up, but I do worry. I look at a guy from a great program, Oklahoma, with a great schemer in Lincoln Riley. I see all these busts the last 5 years with first-round wide receivers. Why do you love CeeDee Lamb more than Jerry Jeudy?
Well, I can go back, and I know a lot of people talk about the Big 12 being a 7-on-7 league, and I don't dispute that. But all I can do is judge him what he did there, which was dominate. And then when he got a chance to go outside the conference in 2018 against Alabama, who last I checked had some pretty good corners, he was 8 for 109. This year, he got a chance to go up against LSU, which last I checked has the best corner in the country. We'll see him next year, or Stingley. And then they also have a Christian Fulton who could go in the first round. He goes 4 for 119 in that one. So outside of the TCU game, and I would just say when you take one game like that, give you an example. Michael Pittman, right? And you follow SC,
yeah.
You know it well. He goes against Utah, and he catches 10 balls and wins the game by himself.
Mm-hmm.
So the next game against Notre Dame, he catches 2 passes. Well, you talk to Brian Kelly, and he said, play over the top of him the whole game. He said, we're not going to let Michael Pittman beat us. So when you have Gary Patterson, who's one of the best defensive minds
yes.
in college football,
yes.
if they want to take away one guy, they can take away one guy.
All right. Okay, so here are my lowest bust risk. Like, I just can't see barring an injury.
Yeah.
And one guy I like way more than everybody else, Chase Young, Jeff Okuda, Jedrick Wills is my favorite tackle, Jerry Jeudy. I like Andrew Thomas. I don't understand. I see him like some guys draft him at 12, 13. I really like him. So those are my five guys that I just don't see a bust. I think they're smart. They were dominant players at programs filled with five-star guys, and they were still better than them. What do you think about my low bust rate list?
I like it for the most part. The only one that I would maybe dispute a little bit would be Andrew Thomas, and I know you like him, and there's some teams that really like him. I have him as the fourth tackle. You can go watch him against Murray State. I mean, that's a lower level opponent, and he gets beat in that game. I don't think he's an elite athlete. He's in a run heavy Georgia offense, and he is a dominating run blocker, outstanding, big, powerful, strong dude. But some of the redirect stuff and pass protection when you're going against some elite speed, that to me just worried me a little bit with him. I think he's got a high floor. I think he's going to be a good player. But, you know, you take him in the top five, I'm not sure you're going to feel great about getting a top five talent there with him. Jeff Okuda is a home run. That one's easy for me. Who are the other ones? Yeah, Chase Young's easy.
Jedrick Wills.
Jedrick Wills is the one that's ready to play right now. So if you say who's the best tackle next year when all four of these guys get on the field, it'll be Jedrick Wills.
Okay.
And he is really good. He's my second tackle. I'm higher on Mekhi Becton than you are, but I mean, I had a chance to be around, and I'm not saying he's this guy, but I was with the Ravens when we had Jonathan Ogden. And when Jonathan Ogden was nicked up, when Jonathan Ogden didn't feel good, Jonathan Ogden was still 6'9", 350 pounds, and you can't get through him. And that's the way I feel about this kid. And I know people have talked about the weight. I know the guy who trains him down in Texas, so I had him send me a proof of weight video, almost like a proof of life video. So as of yesterday, he was 363, which is a little bit lighter than he was at the combine. So he's not 400 pounds.
Okay, so the guy, and again, I'm not saying these guys are busts, but there's stuff that worries me. Mekhi Becton's weight, CeeDee Lamb, Big 12, Joe Burrow's organization, Isaiah Simmons' position, Henry Ruggs. Here's a guy. By the way, I've read this with you, and I've read this with Lance Zierlein, guys I respect. He can be, you can push him around a little, not great with physical play. And I see that with Henry Ruggs, and I think, well, that's what everybody's going to do in the NFL. They're going to get in his face. You're going to have to put him in motion. Is there anybody on my, I'm concerned, I hate calling them busts, I'm concerned list. Is there any of those you agree with and think, I got some questions?
Well, I think Ruggs is an interesting conversation. I think you have to know what you're bringing him in to do. And when you're going to bring him in to run verticals, to run those deep over routes, to get him the ball on bubble screens and tunnel screens, get the ball in his hands and let him go, I think that's what you're going to get, and you're going to love it. But if you're going to ask him to go out there and run every single route on the tree and be your kind of number one in that regard, you're not. The only thing I would challenge is while he does have some difficulty with press at times, he's not going to see much of it, because what's that old phrase or whatever? If you come at the king, you best not miss.
Yeah.
If you don't get your hands on him, it's a touchdown, because you ain't going to catch him.
Daniel Jeremiah, by the way, he'll be the 2020 NFL Draft, ESPN, NFL Network, ABC, starting tonight at 8 Eastern. He released his final mock draft last night. I was saying mock drafts are like boats. Nobody buys a boat as an investment. You just buy it for fun. You know you're going to lose money. Nobody does a mock draft really for accuracy, because everybody's going to, even guys like you are going to miss some, but it is fun. And I love reading them. I love doing mine. And I just know it's going to implode. My last question is with Miami.
Yeah.
When you have that much draft capital, not just this year, Daniel, next year,
yeah.
So they have like 23 picks and a lot. I think it's like 9 first and second round picks or somewhere thereabouts the next 2 years. That would lead me to believe that they can roll the dice on this stuff. When you look at Miami's roster, I do think they have some interesting wide receiver talent. I do. And I love Byron Jones at corner and Van Noy. But if I said to you next 2 years, where do they really have to get better in Miami? Because that will lead me to where I think they're going. Where do they have to get better?
Well, I definitely believe you're leading the witness here, because the offensive line jumps out at you. I mean, they just aren't good up there across the board.
Okay.
Bad.
Okay.
So, but definitely leading the witness, Colin. 100% leading the witness to that result. But here's my counter to that. Did you trade an all-pro, mind you, all-pro offensive tackle and an all-pro free safety So you could go get more picks and hope that you get players at those positions that are as good. Like, to me, you did all that so that you could get your quarterback to change your franchise. So that, to me, is why I hear all the talk about them trading up for a tackle. That would be my only pushback there on that point.
Yeah. Well, there's also, you could, let's be honest about this, Daniel. Let me ask you about Austin Jackson, left tackle USC.
Yeah.
I don't think he's one of the best, but if I got him at 18, I mean, he's super athletic. I don't think he's very strong, but I do think he's athletic as hell. I mean, you could solve the offensive tackle issue for Miami at 25, couldn't you?
Or whatever. I actually was tempted to give them Austin Jackson and then turn around and give him another tackle with 26. Just go, you know, if you want to go quarterback, then go tackle, and then let those guys grow up together. But I do want to leave it this one, Colin. You talked about the mock drafts. In years past, I've waited until the night before, and I've got all my last-minute information, and then sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. I turned in my last mock draft on Sunday afternoon, and I slept like a baby.
Really?
Well, you're not going to get them right, so why stress about it?
Now, that, yes.
We don't know what's going on. Just turn it in. Stop worrying about it. You're going to look like an idiot either way. You might as well just be done with it.
I did mine yesterday. It already stinks. This morning I woke up.
I got 10 phone calls on Monday that destroyed everything that I had put together on Sunday. And I said, no, I'm not going back and doing it again. That's it. It's out. I'm done.
Good talking to you, buddy. Love your work.
Thanks, Colin. Appreciate you, man.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So Terry Bradshaw is going to join us in 5 minutes. Terry Bradshaw actually has a new song, and I've already listened to it. It's Terry. It's funny. And I told my staff that one of the things I've always wanted to do is write a song, and I can't read music, so I couldn't. But Bradshaw's the only, like, can you write a song if you can't read music?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So I want to write a song. It's like I've always wanted to, you know, you listen to music and I'm like, I think I could write a song. It'd probably help if I could read music. Do you have, Joy?
I think it would help more if you could play an instrument.
Well, I can't do that. I can't play
can
it.
Can you sing?
Oh, no. I'm not writing it for me. I'm writing it for somebody else. I don't want to sing it. Yeah, I don't like.
Oh, so you just want to get in your feelings real quick and?
Yeah, I just want to get in my
put
feelings.
Put pen to paper.
I want to rock. Do you sing, Joy?
I grew up in church, so I used to sing in the choir and sing in church, and I'd go to like nursing homes and stuff like that and
wow.
sing.
Wow.
But then I hit puberty and I was no longer a cute little kid, so no, I can't sing. I took voice lessons and guitar lessons and piano lessons. I do not have a musical bone in my body. No.
All right.
I can sing in the shower.
Yeah.
But I think you should go for it. You got the time, right?
Yeah.
Once the draft is over.
Wait, when's Bradshaw here? About 5 minutes? Oh, he's here now? Oh, he's on the phone right now? Oh, I'm ready. I want to talk to Bradshaw. So the other day he called me, and or I think maybe I called him. Hell, I can't remember. Or maybe I was texting him. And so he basically, first of all, Terry, I'm not going to play your song yet. I'm going to give me a couple minutes before I get the song. But tell the people.
Hey.
Tell the people. So you're sitting home doing nothing, Terry Bradshaw, and your wife says something to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
What'd she say?
She did. I was in the office doing an interview with a great journalist named Buddy Martin, who I've known for 30 years.
Uh-huh.
And she said, honey, I said, what? I'm going quarantine crazy. I said, Buddy, just a second. Oh, my God, babe, that's a hit song. I hung up the phone. I came into the kitchen, and I sat down. I said, here, how this song has to go. This song has to be about a guy who will never take time with his family. He's always making excuses how he's going to spend more time, and then he doesn't. He says he needs to play golf to get the stress off of the week's work. And then football season comes around. He's got to watch his sports. He's got to play golf. He's got to go hunting. He never takes time for his family, has excuses. And that's how the song was laid out. And I called Jimmy Urie. I said, I got a song for you. And then I described the song to him. He said, I got it. 2 days later, he played it for me. And that's the song. I got on a plane. We put an engineer in a small room so we were safe, wiped everything down. Tammy and I flew in, went straight to the tiny studio with two people, Jimmy Urie and Jacob, our engineer. I sang the song 9 times, went out the door, and came home. So that's how we did it.
Okay, so I want to play it right now. And now just let me play. I've already played it two or three times. So I'm going to play the song, and then I have questions after that. Are you ready to let me play the song?
Play the song. I got nothing to do, Colin.
Okay.
I'm here for you all day long.
Okay, this is Terry Bradshaw's song, Quarantine Crazy. Terry's, by the way, has toured for years, and every time I go to Vegas, he's on a billboard. So here it is. Let's play the tape.
Cyrus, 'cause if I leave, I might get that virus. We're all out of beans and all out of taters. Come in and wrap it like the last roll of toilet paper. Going quarantine crazy. I'm talking straight jacket lately. Another day or two might break me. I'm going quarantine crazy. Episode of Dora the Explorer. The kids are all fighting while the dogs all are snoring. If I ever say I need some time off again, somebody punch me square in the chin. I'm going quarantine crazy. I'm out of my mind lately. Don't usually let nothing faze me. I'm going quarantine.
That is really good. I told you. I'm like, you're talented. I would love to write a song for you, but I can't read music. Can you write a song if you can't read music?
Yes. Sure. Yeah, you can do that.
You're the only...
A lot of people. I mean, writing, there's three kind of ways to do it. You can be a stylist. You can be an idea person, which is pretty much what I am, and then I can give that to Jimmy Urey, who writes the music and the lyrics, but while he's doing it, I can contribute with the lyrics. Melody wise, no, I have a hard time with that, and that's why I marvel at these songwriters who come up with these incredible melodies. So much of our music today is just a repeat, 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 and every now and then, when you have a George Jones, "I'll Love You Till the Day You Die," when you have songs that are just so distinctively different. I like to kiss the lips that once kissed mine. When you have songs like that, you stop because they are so different. And so that's a great talent that a writer has. But you can write songs and not have a clue. You can write songs without having a guitar or being able to play an instrument.
Who's your favorite country western star of all time?
Alan Jackson.
Yeah. Really popular.
Alan Jackson. And then I was a huge Glen Campbell fan, huge. Back in the 70s, I was Merle Haggard, Glen Campbell.
What about George Strait, people like him?
Yeah, I really like George Strait. I tell you, Garth Brooks one year sent me a black and white picture of himself, autographed, and said, "I'm Garth Brooks, and I'm going to be a country music star someday." So I gave it, I took it, and framed it and kept it. And then I sent him a one in color. I'm Terry Bradshaw. He was a javelin thrower to Oklahoma State University and so on and so forth. And so I sent him a color. Said, "Hey, thank you so much." And then a few years later, after he became a star, he sent me another 8x10. This time it was in color.
Well, he's had a hell of a career. Yeah, he's had a great career.
But I, you know what? I really, I love really I was on the phone with Larry Gatlin yesterday, and his brother Rudy. I really was a Gatlin fan. Merle Haggard, I love Merle Haggard. Alan Jackson, to me, is one of the great singers, great writers of all. His lyrics is just amazing, and I just really love his voice a lot.
Now, just because you play country and love country, are there artists outside of the country genre you like?
Well, I grew up on the Statesman Quartet, which is a gospel group. My first love was always gospel music. I actually did two gospel albums, Here in My Heart, Until You and Here in My Heart, or something, I forgot. Anyway, so I did those two gospel albums. Then I did one with Jake Seth, who was my hero in gospel music, was the great lead singer for the Statesman. And then I hooked up with the Isaacs, and we became really good friends. And I started going out and singing with them on some shows, and then this year we were actually going to start our own tour, and of course all of that got canceled because of the coronavirus.
Yeah, I know. Terry Bradshaw is joining me. He has a new song called Quarantine Crazy. It's out today. 4 Super Bowl champs, 2 Super Bowl MVPs. So we'll segue into football here for a couple minutes. So
yeah.
Tom Brady brings in Gronk, and listen, it's $10 million. It's $10 million. It's 1 year. My takeaway, Terry, is hell. If Gronk had 30 catches and 1 touchdown, but if Tom felt comfortable with him, then he's worth the money. Go back to your career. Are there players that you just, if you would have left, you would have wanted to take with you because they were like pacifiers on the road. They made you feel comfortable.
No, not really. I was never going to leave, so that's never was going to be an issue with me. If I got cut by Pittsburgh, that would have been it. I never wanted to play for another team, ever. So that was it. I wasn't going anywhere. Gronkowski going to be with Tom, somewhat of a surprise because I spent quite a bit of time with him this past year, and he and I co-hosted the USO banquet in Washington, D.C. He's thin, very thin.
Yeah.
And he never once has ever given me a hint that he wants to go back and play. And I talk to him a lot. So I definitely think Brady made a phone call to say, hey, man, come join me. But that doesn't guarantee – everybody's putting him in the Super Bowl. That does not guarantee success. You know, you've got an aging quarterback and a guy that that had had enough. Maybe had enough of the Patriot way, but he had had enough. And I actually told Gronk this. I said, look, you've got everything building in your off-season career now. You've got another avenue that you're in. You're promoting. You're branding yourself. And if you go back and play, you shut that down. You shut that down. He's with Fox. He does a great job. We love having him. Great personality. And all that he's built up, to me, you shut it down. So now he's going to play a year, maybe two, who knows. And then he's got to start it all back up. He won the Super Bowl and retired after that season. They tried to trade him. And then so is he still the guy? Is he still, he's only 29.
Yeah.
We're going to find out. And does everything fall into place like it did in New England? And I got my doubts about that.
Yeah. So Joe Burrow is a good quarterback out of LSU. The knock on him is he's got a pretty average arm. Now you had a great arm. You had an absolute what they call a howitzer. If you didn't have your arm, how much would it have limited your greatness?
Well, my powerful arm completed 51.9% of my astounding career. So I would have been better served to not have quite as much and tried to use that power to squeeze it in. And as I got older in my career, I very seldom pulled the trigger. You know, I threw the ball with a much better touch. This kid, listen, if you've got a quick mind and great footwork with your arm, your shoulders, you're going to be fine because it's not, his arm is more than adequate. You don't have to have a howitzer. Now, if you have the howitzer, but yet you can gear it down, put it in first and second gear, that's even better. But he's got I've watched him a lot, man, and he is really, really good. We've never seen Colin, a quarterback, have the kind of year he had last year. Nowhere. Anyway, 60 touchdown passes. Unbelievable. Unheard of.
Do you worry about Tua's injury?
No, I don't. But just see, when I played and came out in 70, we went right to the draft and it was over. And I just think there's so much time on these guys' hands. They beat these draft picks to death. I wouldn't have a problem. You like him, take him. If you don't like him, don't take him. Don't make excuses, because when he plays well, and he'll play better. He'll stay in the pocket. He'll learn. Listen, this is a smart kid. He is accurate. He played in a big-time program. He's been coached. I'm not worried about him getting hurt. Everybody gets hurt. I'm not worried about it. You like him, take him. If you don't, move on. Go with the guy in Oregon, you know, I wasn't blown away by him. Or if he was so great, why didn't he stay? Why didn't he stay? Come out last year? He didn't come out last year because he wasn't going to be a high pick.
Yeah.
So now there's not the less competition out there. But I like his arm. I like a lot of things about him. Tua, I love.
Yeah.
Burrow, I love. The kid at Utah State, I best I could say to you is that he reminds me of Patrick Mahomes, kind of a gunslinger, kind of, you know, just throws, makes throws you just don't see. So, you know, there you have it. I you talk about the kid at Oklahoma that was at Alabama. What's his name?
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, Hurts. Yeah, there's another one. I mean, he's gotten so much better with his passing and just really an outstanding job. So, and then and there's one more kid out there at Easton, I believe, at Washington. He's really nice. So you just got to pick what you like and go with it. If you think you need to move up and get it, move up and get it. Don't worry about it.
By the way, you're a big man, 6'4". You probably played at, what, 225, 230?
I came in the league at 6'3 and a half, and I weighed 215.
But you put weight on, right?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
I have put weight. I'm 71 now.
Well, no,
shut up, Colin. Now I've got issues.
So when you were playing,
I'm a big man. I am. When I came out, I was big for a quarterback.
Yeah. So you said everybody gets hurt. Were you hurt in your career and didn't announce it?
I'm sure I was. When I got hurt and didn't play, you knew I was hurt and you saw it. But there were other small muscle tears that we'd shoot up, stuff like that.
Wow.
But, you know, back then, no big deal. You just played with them. But nowadays, you get punished, you get penalized, you get fined, you lose draft choices. It's pretty serious stuff now.
Okay, let's play some quarantine crazy on the way out. Terry Bradshaw, you be good. Hey. What?
You know that I'm getting ready to start my European tour as soon as this coronavirus is over. I'm already booking all over the world with this song's taking me to places I never thought of. I'm actually going to tour the whole state of Georgia if they do open up. That's 100 shows right there.
Well,
it's going to be huge.
Just be careful. Don't go to festivals and get, you know, just be careful. Jesus.
Man, I can't even get off this ranch in Thackerville, Oklahoma. How am I going anywhere else? I'd love to come on your show and sing this song, though.
Well, you know what? You can make a little time for us. So you grab your guitar, and you're always welcome.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play this thing on the way out, okay?
Okay.
All right, buddy. Fox NFL Sunday.
Thank you so much, Colin.
Oh,
okay.
You know
Stay
I love
safe,
you.
Stay safe, brother.